Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is 11 a.m. on the dot, and we are ready to roll. Hey, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We will get to the rest here in a minute, but first, got to get right into the opening drive here for the second hour. Let's go first down. Gentlemen, Auburn transfer Justin Powell Panther has officially signed with the Tennessee basketball team. He is signed. He is good to go. There are the agreements in place. Now, again, we knew that he had committed to Tennessee a couple weeks ago as the first of Tennessee's incoming players from the transfer portal. But we know that now he's officially signed. Rick Barnes talked about Justin Powell Panther when he had first committed and really talked about how impressive of a short span of a career he's had. Remember, he's only played about 10 games so far with Auburn last year before suffering a concussion that left him out the entirety of the rest of the season against Texas A&M. But a raw player with a lot of potential, 6'6", a good player. Here's what Barnes said, quote, Justin is a savvy guard who plays very unselfishly and can make his teammates better. He's got really good size and can play multiple guard spots. He's also a proven shooter. Knows how to move well without the ball in his hands. We're really excited about his ability to make plays using screens off the ball and what he can do for us offensively. There you go. First down. Justin Powell Panther officially signs with the Vols.
Yeah. Some old news that becomes, I guess, officially official.
Yes, sir.
Is he going to be eligible immediately, or is that still up in the air?
Now, everything that I know, it's still up in the air. We know that last week, the NCAA did go ahead and pass their one-time transfer rule. That's why you're seeing a lot of these things happen. That's also what's paving the way for Joe Milton to join the Tennessee football team, as he's going to graduate from Michigan in May. Now, for Powell, Brandon, I don't entirely know. Again, they have the blanket waiver from the NCAA, but it is also up to the conferences still, which is weird. But I do think that that was a very important step in getting these conferences to basically transition to a stage of more no immediate penalty for these transfer players. Again, the ACC and the Pac-12 have already gone away with this rule. The ACC went away with it in 2021 earlier this year, and the Pac-12 went away with it in 2019. Said, hey, anybody can transfer wherever they want. We're not going to hold anybody out. So it's interesting to see what the conferences are going to do, but if I am a betting man, Brandon, I'm gonna hope yes. I'm gonna be optimistic. I think there are more reasons to believe yes.
Okay.
Also, why worry about that right now? Like, why stress about that right now? I can stress about that later on. Too many things, other things going on right now. I think we're gonna be good. You want to go for the second night? You want to go basketball or football?
Football. Get it over with.
Ah.
Get it over with.
Not what you think, my friend. Ticonderoga number two, not so fast. Mel Kiper Jr., the man, the myth, the legend, has released another NFL mock draft as we are only 9 days away. I'll give you the first five picks. It's kind of interesting. And then I guess if you're curious in any of the others, we'll go for those as well. Number one, Zach Wilson. Just kidding. Trevor Lawrence. Duh. Number two, the Jets. McShay is taking Zach Wilson from BYU. Again, it really is just depending on the day almost, which mock draft you're looking at, who the Jets are going to take, who the Niners are going to take. But the interesting thing is that both of these teams are obviously going to be in the market for a quarterback, especially the Jets. They got rid of Darnold earlier, I believe last month, or maybe earlier this month. So they're definitely going to be in for one. It's either going to be him or Fields, but looks like right now, actually, Wilson might have a little bit of a better chance. Maybe.
I don't get the hype on Zach Wilson.
I don't either.
I don't. I'd take Justin
Fields
all day.
I may be wrong, and I may have to eat my words, but I don't get it at all.
I'm with you. I never have.
I think the Jets screwed up so bad by winning at the end of their season last year. I mean, there's so much of a difference between number one and number two and everybody
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. I mean,
it is so night and day.
They should have went full tank.
They should have gone full tank. They won that game at the end. Opened the door for Jacksonville. So going on from that, Niners, Justin Fields. Falcons. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, because you think for sure. I mean, Urban likely takes the Jets' job if they have the first pick. He's taking the first to
he
chase.
Wants to go.
Yeah, wherever Trevor Lawrence is going to go.
Yeah, I think that as well. I think that he is 100% tied to him. Number four, Falcons with Kyle Pitts, tied in from Florida. Bengals take Penei Sewell from Oregon. The Dolphins with Jamar Chase, the wide receiver from LSU, which is interesting because a lot of people have one of the Alabama receivers going there with Tua. We have a New England projected trade taking McCorkle Jones at number seven.
See, I would take McCorkle Jones before I took Zach Wilson.
Really?
Yes, I would too. I would too.
Proven, I would not.
Proven winner. I mean, and proven, played an elite conference, wins a national title. He played elite football all season. Yes, he had the weapons, but he did what he had to with the weapons. He didn't come up short. I think he's just more proven than Zach Wilson, BYU, and their tough schedule.
I wonder about the Alabama quarterbacks, man. And I wonder, you know, the skill players, they just got to go beat a guy with significantly less talent than them. Like, when those receivers were running around the field, all they had to do was beat defensive backs that were not as talented or as fast or as strong as them. Right? So I wonder if, you know, you're an Alabama quarterback, you are set up for success better than anybody else, hands down. I wonder how that plays in the NFL. I don't trust these Alabama quarterbacks, at least going into the league. I mean, when's the last great one? When's the last really good one even in the last decade?
But you trust Zach Wilson?
I don't trust, no, not necessarily if you're doing a one-on-one comparison, but I think, hey, if one gives me a little bit more pizzazz. One gives me a little bit more flexibility. He get a little more diversity. He can do a little bit more different things. To me, that's more favorable. But again, I think that's why I personally would go Justin Fields with my top pick. That's not Lawrence.
See, I don't think people don't like him, and they don't like him all that much.
I know a lot of conversation around these quarterbacks. It's actually really interesting as we lead up here to the draft. Eight, Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle. Number nine, Trey Lance. There's another one. Quarterback from North Dakota State who had his pro day yesterday. And then at 10, you have the Cowboys with Surtain, the Alabama quarterback. And then you have actually back-to-back Alabama receivers going the next two picks to the Giants and the Eagles. So it's your top 10. If anybody wants to know a certain one, I'll give you that one as well. But the main thing to me, the main takeaway is just that quarterback conversation is wild right now for this top 10.
Yeah, it's going to be
wild.
I think it's going to be maybe one of the most watched drafts just for that reason. People love the quarterbacks. And, I mean, like you said, you could have four to five quarterbacks go in that top 10. So, see what happens.
It's really interesting. Really interesting. We will we'll continue to bring you coverage up until then. Third down. Guys, one of the standout players from the NCAA tournament has entered his name in the NBA draft. You may remember him from, I don't know, just a certain play in the Final Four. Might have been a buzzer beater in overtime to send his team to the national championship. Jalen Suggs, the freshman from Gonzaga, the third-rated player in ESPN's top 100 prospects, is entering the 2021 draft officially. He told ESPN yesterday.
No surprise there. Go get your money. He's projected anywhere from the second pick or the third pick.
Yeah,
so,
Cunningham and Mobley.
Yeah, so he has to go. So, yeah, good for him.
Not to mention.
Also, Gonzaga has signed two top 10 players in this recruiting class.
You said seven-footer they signed.
Including the number one, right? Like Chet.
Chet Holmgren. and he can
Chet see, homeboy.
See Mike Holmgren's son?
I don't know, but he has handles and he is 7 feet tall.
He's
and he can,
that,
and
he's
he can
the
shoot
lanky
it from
guy,
anywhere.
Right?
Yeah.
Golly.
He might need a little weight, but he's very good. You should watch
Chet
some of his highlights.
Holmgren.
Like Mike Holmgren.
Lanky boy. Yeah, that's insane. 18 years old, born in 2002, and he's 7 feet tall? Are you kidding me?
Have y'all seen the video where he crosses over Steph Curry?
No.
There is one.
Oh, shut up.
I will send it to you.
Apparently no relation to Mike Holmgren.
All right, I'm watching. We got 19 seconds right here. Brian, you can watch with me. Here we go. This is a big dude. I mean, that's just nasty. That's whoop. A little behind the back. Wow. So he's Gonzaga now.
He is Gonzaga now.
Wow.
The rich get richer.
Very interesting.
The rich get richer.
Very, very interesting. So, yeah, there you go. So Suggs is entering the draft. And obviously he is the hottest name maybe heading into the draft simply because he was the name of the NCAA tournament, unless you were really looking at Baylor a little bit. But last but not least, going back to something we had talked about yesterday, this is fun to see. You can really see in a numerical way, the support that Tennessee has given to this baseball team. Guys, we talked about the Golden Spikes Award. That was yesterday. I give you these names. They might sound familiar. Elliot Carney, Alec Jacob, Doug Nikhazy, and Evan Russell. These were your four college baseball athletes who were up for the Performance of the Week. Somebody help me figure this out. I think when we looked at it yesterday around, 11:30? It's like 400. Maybe 500 votes. Doug Nikhazy was leading over 50%. I think Evan Russell only had maybe a little bit over 30%. And boy, has that changed since then. Now, as the poll has ended, Evan Russell is officially your Performance of the Week winner for Week 9 as he absolutely destroyed everybody. He ended up with 77% of the vote. Doug Nikhazy had 16%. Carney had 4, Jakob had 2.4, and there were over 4,000 votes in total for this poll. Evan Russell ran away with your Performer of the Week.
I mean, 3 home runs in a game, including the game-winning Grand Slam and the bottom of the go-ahead Grand Slam.
Something we also did not mention yesterday, and Brandon, I wondered if we had brought this up yesterday, if this might have swayed your opinion. Obviously, 3 home runs, a grand slam, that's a hell of an accomplishment in itself. But are we forgetting that it was off of Jack Leiter? Are we forgetting that it was off of one of the best college baseball pitchers that this sport has seen in recent years? That the best college baseball pitcher by far and away this year is the guy that Evan Russell absolutely took behind the shed. I mean, that's got to add something.
You're forgetting Kumar, but yeah. Leiter, they got the top 2 aces in all of college baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Al Leiter's boy. Brandon, very familiar with Al Leiter. Long time Met. That was not going to sway Brandon, though.
No, I didn't.
What I'm guessing.
I didn't think so either.
The silence.
I didn't think so either.
The silence.
I could quickly tell. But for me, it does. I mean, that's props.
He still won. Good for him. Very good. Very cool.
Very cool. Very cool. So, hey, if you voted, shout out. Evan Russell is the winner, the Week 9 Performer of the Week. And that right there, gentlemen, is your opening drive for the day. How about that?
Good stuff.
Very nice. Let's see. I guess we'll have a couple minutes. Let's see if there's anything happening on... Is there anything good trending on Twitter? Anything kind of going on in the last... Pineapple Express is trending on Twitter. No surprise there. No surprise. I feel like that's going to be a very streamed movie today. Most streamed movies today. Dazed and Confused. Pineapple Express.
Doge.
I'm blanking on the rest of them. How's Doge doing?
It's still good.
Not great.
Oh.
From where it was.
What do you mean from where it was? It's down on the day.
On the day it is.
What the heck?
But it's been
doing good. It was up around 40 last night. It's 35.
It's gonna get to a dollar.
See, on here on Twitter, on the trending, it says, you know, hashtag Doge420 is trending. Cryptocurrency fans declare Doge Day on April 20th as Dogecoin jumps 20%. I feel like that's fake news.
It Big is not Lebowski, jumped, another big movie.
Oh, today. Yeah, that's a great one.
That's another
that's
one.
That's a great one.
Any Cheech and Chong movie.
Let me look up probably the exact same thing that you just looked up.
Yeah, Bad Day for the Stonks.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I think that's a good one.
And I say it's not a coincidence that 420 lines up with Taco Tuesday.
Hey, folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors. Celebrate every day like a birthday. Things come to
those that wait up. All right, gentlemen, here we go back here on the Blitz, 11:19 a.m. You got Rick, Chance, and Brandon hanging out with you as we're making our way through the second hour of the show today. Got a great segment planned coming up for you in the next one. We have a wild story for you coming from, Brandon, where in the world is this story coming from? I would imagine maybe the Great Northwest.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest. I'm not entirely sure if it's just Northern California or Washington or Oregon. I'll try
to. Okay, but it's somewhere up there.
The details of trying to find it's very, very hard to find.
Can you, because our next segment is going to be, for our 420 listeners out there, of course, we're going to have you covered today.
Northern California.
Northern California. Okay, so, Brent, can you, to tease the next segment, can you give me one sentence? To approach maybe the topic that that the story revolves around.
Bigfoot kills pot farmers.
Oh. And this is a real story.
Allegedly, there's a documentary that's coming out on Hulu.
Okay.
About this Sasquatch.
Look, I don't know where that story is going, but all I know is that I'm in for it. I'm in for the ride. If you're going to tell me that we got a Sasquatch and pot farmers violent story, I would like to know where that's going to go. So that will be in the next segment, as well as your official top 25 stoner movies ever. Yeah, that's going to be today. But until then, got a little bit more Tennessee news for you here as a couple more things that you might find interesting today. I stumbled upon something a couple minutes ago. I stumbled upon a 2022 NBA mock draft, and I see a Tennessee player on this list.
We've not even had the 2021 draft.
Yeah, but we already know. You know, we know that Keon and Jaden, and that's it. Excited to see where they go, but Tennessee's got one player in the draft next year so far. Where do you think he's going? If you had to give this way too early prediction.
Where do I think?
The player. And I know you know the player.
Top.
For 2022?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say number 6.
I'll say top 3.
Right now, 2022 NBA mock draft. I actually do expect this number to go way up, actually. Simply because of the talent that he's going to be playing with. I think that Tennessee set him up with really good players to make him look great. Right now, he's projected to go at number 10 to the Toronto Raptors. Kennedy Chandler from Tennessee. Wow, that could be wild. Back-to-back years where you have a top 10 draft pick. I mean, I think right now you'd be surprised if he fell out of the top 10 for some reason. But again, we're so far away from that. There's another Tennessee player who right now is mocked to be drafted in the first round. Who do you think this could most likely be? Another first round talent.
Brandon Hunley Hatfield. Okay.
I know that was kind of mean, but
a little bit emphatic. Triple J.
Woo! That's correct. You got Triple J right now mocked to go. Once again, he could potentially be lining up with old Keon Johnson over there at Oklahoma City, as he's projected to go number 28 overall to OKC. So there you go. Look at that. You might have two Tennessee players drafted in back-to-back drafts. That would be pretty cool.
Very cool.
I haven't really thought about Triple J's draft stock, but I feel like I'm a little taken back that maybe a first round talent.
Yeah, I am. Seems a little.
Right, it's at the end.
I know he came in very highly touted. It's just like
maybe they expect him to be really good next year.
I'm about to say, but he does a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
and that translates pretty well to the NBA level, and we just haven't seen him be a dominant scorer. But he does so much of every. You know, he's a stat stuffer. You know what I'm talking about. That's why you laugh. Choke on your water over there.
I wasn't expecting a stat stuffer.
Stat stuffer.
You can't use words like that whenever I'm drinking water.
I would say it's the perfect time to do so. That was fun.
Definitely the perfect time.
That was good.
But yeah, he can do a little bit of everything. Yeah, so he can. NBA sees that.
Jack of all trades.
Hard worker.
I think an NBA guy can take that and say, all right, we can really, we know what to specialize in from this point out. Like, we can see what we want to do with you. You're pretty good at everything, so we have a good starting off point for whatever we need, you know, whatever main role we need you to be. I think that's a solid starting point. All right, so other quick Tennessee news real quick. Guys, we just published an article this morning on FanRadio.com talking a little bit about the Tennessee baseball team's future. And we got about five series left for the base balls, and things are only gaining steam. Like, I don't really care if you went 1-2 against Vanderbilt. I still feel like people are coming out of that weekend just as fired up, if not still more, about the baseball team. And let's talk about it candidly. This is all the people who are joining the bandwagon for the first time, really. And this is the most extensively we've ever covered baseball and things like that. So we're a part of that group. But I certainly think that people are really excited about where this team's going. You give this city any kind of success, and they'll jump behind it. That has been proven on numerous occasions.
I mean, people just want a winner.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a winner.
Well, and two, this Knoxville's just been... I mean, the football program's just been down for so long. Basketball's given you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just kind of been starved of any kind of championship. I mean, I guess the 2018 or whenever they won the
like
regular
season. Like a road to a playoff run in the regular season? Because if you think about that, when is the last time we've had like a successful regular season? You know, you got to go back a couple years. I think this is really the first time that you have a Tennessee sport where the majority of the excitement around the team is not coming from something that happened in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, people just want a winner. People just want to win.
Yeah.
And it's been so long. And I can't remember what we were talking about the other day, and I think Charlie brought up the tennis team or diving or whatever.
Yeah, something but silly.
People want a winner, yeah, in a major sport.
Sure.
And it's just been a while.
So after Tennessee's weekend against Vanderbilt, you do drop a little bit in the rankings. You move from number 5 to number 6 on D1 Baseball, number 5 to number 7 on Baseball America, and number 3 to number 5 on USA Today Sports. So it doesn't really matter. Look, you drop 2 spots at most in these publications, but you're still in the top 10, still in a good spot. But real quick, just some of the, again, you can go and read this article on FanRunRadio.com right now, but a little bit of a tease about what you can find there. Talked about 3 aspects of the team right now and kind of a little bit about what you saw versus Vanderbilt, that what you can take going forward. For instance, starting pitching over the weekend was really good. You had 2 dominant performances by both Chad Dallas and Will Heflin as they gave you their absolute best chance to win consistently for over 5 innings in each game. Heflin was scoreless for his first 5, and Chad Dallas never gave up more than a run in an inning. Also, for Heflin, all 3 runs of his that he gave up in the 6th inning in the second game, which didn't really matter because we won, but all 3 of those were unearned because of 1 error. That was a ongoing trend throughout the series. So Tennessee does need to batten down the hatches a little bit when it comes to fielding, because it's actually interesting. And I don't know what necessarily causes this, like over a long period of time. I think it's getting guys on base and not getting outs, but maybe the opposite, but Tennessee has had the most fielding opportunities by a long shot in the SEC. right? Which is really interesting to think about. They have about a 97% fielding rate, which a lot of other teams in the SEC do. But when you're dealing with Tennessee, a 97% on 1,400 fielding opportunities is completely different than, say, Auburn, who has a 97% fielding on 1,100 opportunities. So that's really interesting. Tennessee has to be at its best all the time simply because they have the most chances to do so. And then other than that, hitting. Hey, man, you had good hitting. Chance, you made a great point yesterday about how the team does need to do a little bit better about not leaving ducks on the pond.
Yeah.
And we had talked about that. Their average, weirdly, is not great. It's actually third lowest in the SEC. But they're so good at getting guys on base.
Yeah, they're great at that, but just can't knock them in once they do get them on base. I mean, they're one of the worst teams, I'm sure by far, in the SEC with leaving runners in scoring position.
Yeah, but, you know, even the weird thing about that, and this is to say that I agree with you, but here's like just like a weird thing that I'm trying to kind of keep in mind about this whole thing. So Tennessee is the second lowest batting average in the SEC to Missouri. So if you add .024 to Missouri, then they would leapfrog Tennessee as the second worst, right? Then they wouldn't be the worst. But if you added that same amount to Tennessee, standing where they are, they would jump all the way up to fourth in the SEC in batting average. So you're really not that far different. And that's why I think that stat's a little bit misleading, although there's no doubt about it, it is low. But I think misleading in terms of, you know, one of the last two to three teams in the SEC. And in reality, it's Missouri's the worst. And everybody else is a good bit better than that, kind of a little bit of a cluster. But that's just some of the baseball notes. There's way, way more details on all three aspects of the game, fielding, pitching, and hitting, again, in our article on fanrunradio.com. But, again, I really like where this city is feeling about the baseball team right now. We got a game tonight. Going to be interesting to see how the reaction is, how the crowd is. Still looking at all those guys. And that game will be at 6:30 tonight on SEC Network Plus. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set up a motor, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats. Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see LA. I really want to come pick you with you. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 11:34 a.m. By the way, correction from the last segment. Tennessee does have the 12th ranked batting average in the SEC, so it is third from the bottom, although it's .001 better than Texas A&M. So what are we even counting there? All right, now it is time. Guys, if you ask select people around the nation, if you go to the college campus, you'll probably find plenty of them. There are many, many people who are partaking in the unofficial holiday today, that is April 20th, 420, if you will. It's a big stoner holiday, and there's a lot of great stories behind it. And we'll kind of give you some of our favorite stories. Brent's got a wild story that I have no idea what's coming up. Chance, real quick, we were talking about the origin at the beginning of the show. Do you have like the 30-second story in your head about kind of where it came from, You know, the rough draft version?
Well, it started in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
At whatever university it was. But it was just a bunch of kids who decided that they were going to meet at 420 on the dot to get together, smoke a little pot, basically. And that's how they did it. They used to meet on campus at a certain spot. And that's really how it kind of started. But there's a lot of other different conflicting.
There's one they would meet and look for some kind of treasure, right? They were looking for some kind of treasure. I remember that from last year when we talked about it.
Yeah, and that treasure has never been found, which is one of like the big kind of history thing that people talk about. But yeah, the high school thing, this has ties all the way back to the Grateful Dead, right? This group of high school kids.
They're known as the Waldos.
Yes, the Waldos.
Mm-hmm. Early 70s, and it was at, wasn't the campus, but San Rafael High School. They were known as the Waldos. It was Steve Capper, Dave Reddix, Jeffrey Noel, Larry Schwartz, and Mark Gravich.
There you go. So you can even go so far as say, it says here on time, Reddix's brother helped get him work with Grateful Dead bassist Phil Lesh as a roadie, so the band is said to have helped popularize the term 420. On December 20th, 1990, a group of deadheads in Oakland handed out flyers that invited people on April 20th at 4:20 p.m. to go all meet together. One ended up with Steve Bloom, a former reporter for the High Times magazine, an authority on cannabis culture. The magazine printed the flyer in 1991 and continued the reference, which was really the starting point, I guess. And that's how the ball got rolling, is you get, you know, big-time people, the Grateful Dead, to start mentioning at their stuff. And you get the reporter for the High Times, and he starts using it.
Yeah, their code word was 420 Louis, Louis, 420 Louis, which they used to meet up at their Louis, the Louis Pasteur statue, and they'd smoke the ganj. And then, like Brandon said, in 1971, the Waldos caught a lucky break. They were all paranoid about getting busted while purchasing marijuana. So when a pair of brothers passed along a map to a quote-unquote pothead's paradise, the boys jumped. It was a treasure map, complete with an X marking the spot that led to an abandoned crop of cannabis hidden in the countryside of Marin County.
So it had been found, the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's going to be cool. National treasure. So that is the, and there's still plenty more to the origins. You know, there's even go back, some go as far to cite Bob Dylan's song, Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35.
Mm-hmm.
Because 12 times 35 equals 420. Yeah, like a lot of crazy references throughout history. But let's go, let's flash forward a little bit. Brent, I don't know where when this story is from. You said it was from California, so obviously we have a little bit of a trend here with the 420
West Coast.
Ideals. But what the hell is going on with this story?
I'm just going to start reading.
All right.
Deep in the forests of Northern California, where the canopy of redwoods and Douglas fir blot out the sky.
And there's a Hulu documentary coming out about this, too. So it's legit.
Yeah, called Sasquatch.
Wow.
Growers found the perfect environment for cultivating some of the world's most coveted marijuana.
And I believe at this time it was illegal back then. Well, to do the planting.
Many of the patches that began to proliferate in a tri-county region known as the Emerald Triangle started off as a small-scale operation supporting the lifestyle of a 60s-era back-to-the-land movement. By the mid-90s, operations grew considerably, attracting less scrupulous criminal elements. The Emerald Triangle is known today as the nation's largest cannabis-producing region, but it's also known for a creature of legend, one whose existence has never been proven, but whose believers are convinced is out there somewhere. Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch.
So the story here is that these unexplained deaths of these farmers, these pot farmers, can practically only be attributed to something like Bigfoot?
Apparently.
What?
I'm not entirely sure. And continues, in the mid-90s, 23-year-old journalist by the name of David Holdhouse journeyed to the region seeking temporary work on a pot farm of an acquaintance. At first, he thought the stories of Bigfoot told around the camp were simply to frighten the new guy. But then, two drugged-out men came to the cabin spinning a wild tale of murder.
Oh, my God.
Three people on a nearby farm had been torn limb from limb, and the men believed a Sasquatch was responsible. Holdhouse didn't pursue it at the time, but something alarmed these men enough that it made an indelible impression on the young journalist.
I would like to ask a question here, if I can. Was there only one man who returned to the camp?
It said two.
Oh, well, it was those guys. They killed him. They killed him. Open, shut, solved, all right? Like, you don't, if the three of us, right, if the three of us go out to the northern woods of California and only two of us make it back and we're screaming Sasquatch killed him, like, it's obviously we are prime suspects. That's what I'm thinking here. Although, I am the Bigfoot guy, so I should stay on track here.
So, yeah, that's basically what this documentary is about. It's trying to get to the bottom of it.
Does this make you interested in the documentary?
A little.
I would tend to agree.
But, you know me, I'm much more of an alien guy than
I know.
Than Bigfoot.
I know. What a, maybe Bigfoot was just trying to relax a little bit. He's got all these people trying to find him all the time. He probably just wants to take it easy. Enjoy a night off sometimes. He might have found a place and, you know, things got out of hand. You know how it goes. I don't know how it goes. But either way, that's a...
You know how it goes. It'd be like that sometimes.
All right, so great story. Who knows if it's true? What do you think? Oh, yes, it's true. Okay.
No, that's not what I said.
Oh, no, you don't think it's true, definitively.
No, I don't think a Sasquatch tore them from limb from limb. No.
He did not murder the NorCal cannabis farmers.
No, he did not.
It was the aliens.
But no, watch that's not true.
But watch the documentary and find out for yourself, I suppose, if it's something.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Oh, I'll be in on this. I'll totally watch that. Give you a full report if you don't watch it.
Are you all more inclined to watch a documentary that's like one sitting or one that's like divided up in a docuseries?
I like the docuseries more so. It seems like they're better.
Well, I think I guess it's true for anything, but it depends on if I'm interested.
Yeah, 100%.
If I'm really interested in it, give me the docuseries. If I'm only kind of interested, give it to me in one go.
I don't know if you could have said it more perfectly. Yeah, spot on. I completely agree. I've watched two long documentaries, or docuseries, I guess, in the recent history. Michael Jordan and The Undertaker. Obviously, two athletes, two figures that I very much want to know the story of. But anything, you know, if I don't have that kind of interest level, look, I'm not coming back to it. I got to finish in a sitting. I got too much other stuff going on. Chance, do you have a preference?
Like I said, I like the series just because I just think generally they're better. Like,
detail.
When they are split it up, maybe they're split it up for time or to get more viewers instead of giving to y'all at once, you know, to keep you locked in. But generally when it's a series, they're a little bit more interesting than just the plain old documentary.
Sure. All right.
Big docuseries guy.
Last thing real quick here in our ultimate guide to 420. I have the top 10 movies that that you can watch today in case you are celebrating the holiday. Found this here on Rotten Tomatoes, so there you go. It's not mine. It's way smarter than what I would come up with. Number 10, Pineapple Express.
Definitely one up there.
I like that movie. That's a good one. Seth Rogen, James Franco.
Seth Rogen's a funny guy.
Danny McBride, Kenny Powers. Number 9 is Ted. Good movie.
Ted is a very underrated funny movie.
I like that a lot. Number 8, Inherent Vice from 2015.
Never heard of that.
Never heard. Mm-mm. Joaquin Phoenix, Josh Brolin, Owen Wilson, Catherine Waterson.
What that is.
I don't know. Number 7, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Yeah. Never seen it.
It's a good one. They should have stopped after the first one.
Harold and Kumar, they go to White Castle. That's the plot.
That is the plot.
Yeah. Okay. All
but right. It is pretty funny. Things that happen along the way. But they tried to do a bunch of ones after that, they should have just stopped on the first one.
No, a lot of movies fall into that. Mm-hmm. Number 6, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Another one that I haven't seen, but I've wanted to for a long time.
I've seen it. That's the iconic pool scene.
Yeah.
I forget her name, but the brunette getting out of the pool.
Jennifer? Yes. Number 5, Friday, 1995.
Oh, Friday's great.
With Ice Cube, Chris Tucker.
Have you seen Friday?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. You have to watch Friday. Have you seen it, Brandon?
Mm-mm.
Wow. That's you guys' homework tonight. Go watch Friday. I'm serious. It's very funny. You all really right, need to watch
let's
that.
Watch, let's look it up a little bit during the break. All right, top 4. Number 4, Big Lebowski. Absolute classic. Number 3, This is the End from 2013. That had a ton of actors in it. Number 2, Easy Rider from 1969.
Never seen it, heard of it, though.
Okay, and then number 1, what I think I imagine is the number 1 for most people, Dazed and Confused. Awesome movie. I watched it for the first time, Brandon, with you and Miles a couple months ago, and we loved it.
For the first time?
For the first time ever. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. You guys don't know good movies.
I've seen it.
Dazed and Confused is good.
I loved it.
I think Friday is funnier than all those movies.
Imagine, I just were thinking about that last scene. Imagine giving your high school football coach the bird and just saying you know what, dude? I got Led Zeppelin tickets to go get. Imagine that being a casual part of your summer. We got to go get Zeppelin tickets. Are you kidding me? No, coach, I don't want to play football. We're going to go watch Zeppelin at the stadium. casually. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's one of the things to pick up from the older movies. But either way, that is your guide. Be safe out there today, people. And if you find any good treasure, let us know. Let us know. We love to see the treasure. All right, closing out the segment, closing out the show. I can't believe it's flown by this fast. Closing out the show, coming up next, don't go anywhere. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 11:50 a.m. today. You got Rick, Brandon, and Chance hanging out with you. We've been doing so for the last 2 hours, but we're closing things down right about now. Talk Sports right outside the door. They're coming on from 12 to 3. Make sure you do not want to miss a single second of their program today. They got good stuff coming up, as always. But, gentlemen, I think it's about that time of the show. Well, we've gotten through all the big topics of the day. We've gone through all the big stories of the day. We'll get our stuff lined up for tomorrow. But until then, anything left until we move into a little bit of If You Haven't Heard? I guess that would be a little You Haven't Heard.
If you haven't heard, according to the official Twitter account of the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Mike Tomlin to a 3-year extension. He ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going nowhere.
Rooney family loves him. And I think stability is everything.
Yeah, and I think he's obviously a player, or a, not a player, a coach that the city, you know, very much buys into.
The players,
I would imagine, trust, although I don't know too much about the Steelers, but I would imagine that obviously he is a focal point of who the Steelers are. Not to mention, how many times have they missed the playoffs the last couple of years? Not too many, right?
No, always had, they've been stable.
What were they, the 2 seed this year?
No.
Or well, yeah, am I no. completely? Yeah.
No, they were. They were.
They were. And they then were they choked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were like 11-1 and like lost their like what?
Yeah, they did. They had a horrible stretch.
Yeah.
Lost the last 5.
Let's see.
If you haven't heard.
Perfect.
Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks Pizzeria announced it will be donating 100% of its profits to Austin East High School throughout the week. So if you want to give back, help out a community that's hurting right now, go to Hard Knocks Pizza.
Wow, that's a great one. We will we'll have to make that an appointment part of our week. Also, I'd seen this from 2 days ago. The WVL team, I'll just read this tweet. The WVLT news team is mourning the loss of assistant news director Nash Armstrong. Nash will forever be admired for his kind soul, calm nature, and vast contributions. So anybody in the Knoxville area, and especially in the, in the journalism sphere, our thoughts very much go out to. Other than that, though, real quick, how about this? This is wild. The oldest person in America has officially passed away.
Yeah, she's 116.
At 116 years young, she leaves behind. Brandon, have you seen these numbers? I don't know if you have. Here we go. She leaves behind 68 grandchildren, 125 great-grandchildren, and 120 great-great-grandchildren.
It's a lot.
What?
Living
alive. It's insane. It's insane. It's crazy, man.
Think she knows all the names? Do you think she knew all the names?
You know, I bet it was difficult, but I bet she tried her best, Brandon. I bet she did.
I bet she knew.
I bet she tried her best, and if she didn't...
I mean, to be 116, I bet she was still pretty sharp.
Wow.
I'm just saying, that's a lot of names for
her. Yeah. Yeah, no, seriously. I don't even know.
Also, another news, Nick DiPaolo reports for ESPN. According to a text he received at 6:36 a.m., Vanessa Bryant did not renew contract with Nike. Kobe and Nike are done.
Saw that.
So as of right now, there's no ongoing contract for future Kobe releases, but she is she had went to, I think, Twitter or Instagram, and spoke of fans will still be able to get Kobe's shoes. I think what had been spoken of was that Kobe was eventually going to make his own line. And I think that's what she's going
to
do.
Wow, I'm interested to see where that project goes.
It's still one of the top selling shoes that Nike offered.
Yeah, no doubt.
Actually, the number one, the Kobe Bryant line of shoes. So, because they treat Jordan separately, but yeah.
Yeah. Hey, on brand. Last thing for me real quick, and I had just seen this a second ago. FXX has announced that season 2 of Dave will premiere on June 16th with the first 2 episodes of the season. Here are all the celebrities that will be co-starring. Well, I guess guest star. Kendall Jenner, Hailey Bieber, Benny Blanco, Kyle Kuzma, Doja Cat, J Balvin, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lil Yachty, Lil Nas X, Kevin Hart, and many more. Mm-hmm. In like a 10-episode series. How are they going to get all these people in? It's wild.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Shout out to Doge.
Are you talking about Doja Cat or the Doge?
Both.
Okay, I like
buy
it.
Buy Doge. Go buy Doge.
And hold on for dear life.
Yes, hold. Buy and hold.
But we're not financial experts, so don't take our advice.
Buy and hold.
Gentlemen, that's all I got for today.
National calendar days.
Let's get it.
All right, so got a little bit of time. National Lookalike Day. You guys believe everybody has a doppelganger out there?
No.
Maybe.
I do.
Some people do. It's called a twin.
I believe everybody does. Somewhere you have somebody that looks pretty much exactly like you.
I can see it.
No relation.
I'm one of a kind.
National Cheddar Fries Day. You guys like cheddar fries?
Yes, we get one sec.
One of a kind guy. You like cheddar fries, one of a kind guy?
I do.
I like them with bacon and like loaded up though.
Yeah, dude.
Sour cream.
Bacon.
Sometimes even some like chives. Gravy, chives.
It can be any of the rungs on the ladder. It can be just cheese, only gravy. A little bit of bacon, maybe add a little bit of chives on top of all.
Chili,
it doesn't matter.
Onions.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
It's also National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day. You guys like pineapple upside down cake?
Yes.
I like pineapple and I like cake.
It's a great shot. If you're ever out at the bar and you want to get you a nice shot that's not too strong, pretty sweet, pineapple upside down cake shot. And
which South Dakota.
I do know. That was Monday.
It's not a Monday.
Good call.
Also, I don't really like this, though, but National Lima Bean Respect Day. Ugh.
Disrespect the lima beans.
What?
Always.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience out there.